Corey Nichols goes above and beyond. His story was even featured on ABC7 New York's segment, Above and Beyond, Inspiring People in Our Community, in 2014. It all started with Corey, 11 years old, in 2012, watching the documentary Hard Times, Lost in Long Island. The documentary addressed hunger and poverty in his own neighborhood. He watched as men and women struggled to find food and needed supplies. And he realized their kids were probably classmates at his school. Hunger was right at his doorstep. That's when Corey was moved to action. Corey collected canned food and money from his neighbors to give to his local Oceanside, New York food pantry. But he was surprised when the leaders at the pantry asked him to partner with them to give monthly. This way they could get the supplies they truly needed and could count on him. And that's how C, spelled the letter C, the difference, Corey Cares, was born. With C, the difference, Corey hoped to raise $1,200 so he could give the food pantry $100 worth of food and supplies each month for a year. He again headed to invite his neighbors and friends from school to partner with him in his endeavor. When the grocery store he would shop at heard about his project, Stop and Shop helped him with $100 gift cards for 12 months. But he had extra money donated from friends and family, and his passion for his project grew. So Corey continued. When Superstorm Sandy came through the Northeast, there were more people who needed Corey's help. Stop and Shop shoppers and employees would see Corey come in and start shopping for pasta, canned vegetables, and other items. And he would receive extra donations from them. Corey's project was contagious. As his project continued to grow and he was featured on ABC7's Above and Beyond at age 13, Corey said he continued because he wanted other kids to see how one person can make a difference and be inspired to do so. He offers these wise words to his peers. Don't chase cool, be cool. Do something cool. In those 2 years, Corey collected $10,000 for his local food pantry. Now Corey continues to see the difference at 16 years old. It's an official tax-exempt nonprofit organization now. They not only keep working with and delivering to his Oceanside food pantry, but at least three others each month all over Long Island. It's all about kids and teens shopping for food at their local grocery stores and stocking the shelves of local pantries with what they need. They host monthly food drives in neighborhoods and businesses, and they now have a junior advisory board with 10 members between the ages of 12 and 18. They continue to follow their mission statement, making a difference one community at a time. An above and beyond story from this summer, Arthur Cohen is an entrepreneur in New Jersey. He was once a professional photographer, but now he makes pickles. Arthur Cohen also now suffers from ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. He was diagnosed at age 58, and since his diagnosis, he's been determined to keep positive about his illness and figure out a way to raise money for ALS research. He realized he could use his love for making homemade pickles to help. Arthur cannot talk or walk on his own now, but he has raised over $200,000 through his nonprofit Pickles, spelled Pick ALS. Stores sell his pickles, and the nonprofit now runs from a local factory instead of Arthur's kitchen, so it can have more room to grow. Arthur's catchphrase is, "When life hands you lemons, you make pickles." These are just two stories from that series Above and Beyond. I could tell you many more. There are also the stories of Elizabeth and Pearlie, a mother and daughter team who have volunteered at a food pantry regularly for over 20 years. A teenager, Billy, sending baseballs full of encouraging notes to troops overseas. Sister Aunt Elizabeth Ann, a nun who weekly collects fresh fruits and vegetables to donate to 85 seniors at a retirement home in Queens. Pat Heffernan, who had given 16 gallons of his much-needed O-positive blood by 2015. By the time of his interview, he had given 126 times because he gives blood once every 56 days. And there's Michelle Carrera, who started a vegan Chili's on Wheels program, so there was an option for vegetarians or vegans who found themselves homeless. And again, many more stories. You probably know a series like this from your local news. I can think of a Hometown Heroes segment from Richmond that I grew up watching. You might know people in the Vienna or Greater Fairfax community that you could probably nominate for such a series. People that go above and beyond in the community. But what makes what they do above and beyond? And what motivates them to go to such great lengths? At first glance, our scripture from Ezekiel earlier may not be about going above and beyond so much as it is just doing the job. The first part of chapter 34 is God sending word to Ezekiel to the shepherds of Israel. Tell them that instead of feeding the sheep, they feed themselves. They clothe themselves instead of the sheep. Now the sheep are scattered and many are prey for other animals. The shepherds aren't doing their job, what I, God, have asked them to do. God is not upset at actual shepherds, but the kings and rulers of Israel and Judah. The rulers have their own interests in mind, a problem common to Israel's royalty from the very beginning with Saul. They aren't looking out for the people God has care for and has interest in their well-being. They aren't realizing Israel's worth to God and the need to nurture the people or the need to stand up and fight when enemies arise. They contribute to why Jerusalem has been taken by their enemies and the temple has been destroyed. No wonder the people feel hopeless. The sheep have once again been led astray. But this pastoral image turns subtly to a prophetic image. Maybe neutral in tone, God is not neutral here. God says, I will show these shepherds how it is done and acts. God seeks the sheep out and rescues them. God feeds them. God takes care of the weak and injured ones and destroys the fat ones who have bullied the weaker sheep. And how does God destroy them? God feeds them with justice. The bullying sheep are forced to sit down at the table and choke down a bitter meal. This meal that satisfies a hunger for justice they have never knew they had. A meal of God's liberating self that redeems them. Through this image, God reminds God's people once again to return to the path of justice. God appoints a shepherd prince who will follow in this same spirit with the people. The sheep are promised to be set straight. Along with this reading in Ezekiel, we have today's reading of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes of his thanksgiving for the church in Ephesus after he has told them of an inheritance, a blessing from God. He prays that God will give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of their hearts will be enlightened to this hope and inheritance. In Paul's time, the heart was seen as the beginning and source of wisdom, not the head. In order to be wise, the heart must be behind every thought and action. It must be felt wholeheartedly. Paul's request for one's eyes of the heart to be enlightened here is not a wish for an ethereal wisdom, but a practical wisdom. It's a prayer for them to have a good understanding of how people should be treated in God's kingdom and to live that understanding out as a unified, authentic community. For them to be filled with Christ's power of reconciliation right now in their current world. This hope and inheritance Paul promises to the people is an invitation to partner in how God is working in their world. It is not a reward to individually wait for in the next life. It is the hope and inheritance of bringing God's kingdom to earth with Christ's reign, a kingdom of peace, justice, and love that overcomes evil. Christ's exclusive reign above all things brings inclusive hope as Christ reconciles all things. No more deep human divisions that only Christ's resurrection can break. No more fat and weak sheep. Maybe just a table where all gather and feed on God's justice. I gave a meditation on Joy Harjo's poem, "Perhaps the World Ends Here," at the community Thanksgiving service this past Tuesday night. I haven't been able to get this poem out of my head, especially with our scripture passages for today. So even if you heard it on Tuesday, I invite you to hear Joy Harjo's words again with me. "Perhaps the World Ends Here" by Joy Harjo. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies, and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor, falling down selves, and as we put ourselves back together once again at this table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have prepared our parents here for burial. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at a kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. Joy Harjo speaks to the common human experience of the ups and downs in life. We share the moments of joy, failure, sorrow, anger, thanksgiving, and many more around our tables. Thinking outside of our homes, the community becomes the kitchen table in our lives. We share all parts of life together, both the ugly and beautiful. What if we were intentional about bringing more moments of beauty or glimpses into the kingdom of God to our community's table? What would it look like if we committed to sit down at the table and see everyone as the children of God they truly are, and speak to our unity? What would it look like if we committed to make sure all the sheep are fed? As Paul writes of hearing about the church of Ephesus' faith in Jesus, he reminds us that God's work is not done. There's still much for us to do as we believe and hope in Christ's reign and complement the work of our head. We are Christ's body. We speak to and show Christ's hope and love for all people. And it takes all of us, the fullness of Christ, to do this work. So what makes Corey's, Arthur's, and many others' work above and beyond? And what makes them go to such great lengths? Maybe the eyes of their hearts are enlightened. They see the needs in their world, in their community, and they make the small differences they can make. They see we are one community. And they invite others to join them in this work, and in turn, their neighbors and friends' eyes of their hearts are enlightened. What will you do with your heart enlightened? It's not easy, but we commit together to look at this world through Christ's eyes and not our own. So may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened too, so that we see a vision for a unified world. A world under Christ's reign that is above and beyond us. Amen.